Welcome to the October 2016 Chairman's Update. In the studio, we have Ryan Jackson, Chairman of the Hoopa Valley Tribe, and we will be discussing the Rama settlement, status of the grocery store, and the tribal chief of police. And good evening, and welcome to Studio 91, and welcome, Ryan, to another Chairman's Update.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Hello, everybody.
Okay, so what we were billing is your discussions about the updates of the three items, and we can probably add more as we go along, think about them. When was the Rama decision, which is a buzz around the community?
Yeah, absolutely. Those three issues are obviously really pressing and something that needs a tremendous amount of discussion. I think, I guess, first I would start off by mentioning the situation at Standing Rock, if you have a moment.
Sure.
I saw today where it seems as if though the police, sort of clad in riot gear and sort of a real heavy militarization, have ascended on one of the camps there and have fired rubber bullets and some different things. And you know, it's really unfortunate. It seems to be escalating to a point where there's likely to be some engagements that will lead to sort of some potential devastating effects. And I guess for me here personally, as well as the leader of the tribe, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the value in going over to Standing Rock and being a part of what was happening. But I would just highlight that, you know, you see these types of things happening around the world and in different places, and the same thing that's happening there in Standing Rock has happened here before. You know, we've had our own fish on wars in the 70s and those types of things where we've come up against, in this case, well, their case is local government, federal government, and different corporations, but ours is the federal government. And, you know, we asked for support from other tribes and across the country, and we received that. In fact, the AIM from the Dakotas came out in support of our efforts, and we, in you know, acknowledgement of that, returned the favor and went there to show our support. You know, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to defend, are their sacred sites, their land, their resources, you know, their way of life. So again, if these types of things continue to happen across the country, you know, things are only going to get worse. So it's important to make sure and show support and take a stand and offer as much or as many resources as we can to those types of efforts, in order to, again, protect the same things that we're trying to protect. You know, we have our own fights over here that occur on a daily basis, and there we have our own struggles and we have our own things that we deal with, and particularly the water issues. Tomorrow morning we're going to be out on the coast in Eureka meeting with Supervisor Sundberg on you know, the Trinity River and 50,000 acre feet of water and the best use of that, and making sure that everybody understands the value that it has to protection of the resource over here in Humboldt County. And last week, Vice Chairman Billings and Councilman Lemieux and McCullough were in Sacramento pressuring the Bureau of Reclamation on a bunch of different issues similar to protection of water resources and our way of life. So again, just, I would like to make sure that you know, the situation there at Standing Rock is addressed, and that we are still continuing to offer our full support of what's happening there. And if possible, folks should make the journey and be there to assist in any way that they can.
Yeah, I've been watching, and we've been hearing a lot of on National Native News and Democracy Now, and Amy Gooden has been threatened with jail time, going to court and all that. So it's ballooned into this international issue, and I'm thinking, you know, this is like the pinnacle of the awareness of the continual genocidal actions that the American government has on indigenous people, whether they're their own right here on our homeland or elsewhere. So people are really using this as an awareness tool, and maybe things will start changing. And I don't know how this all is going to roll into this presidential election and issues and how that's all going to roll out.
Yeah, I think it's a long time coming, really. I think that, you know, we've indigenous people and Indian people in the United States and here locally, you know, we all understand the way the government operates and the way that, you know, they've really if you want to put it just in terms of management of the resources or mismanagement of resources, you could certainly use more or volatile language to describe sort of some of the actions that they've taken over the years. But I mean, this isn't really new. This is just something that has gained the attention of, like you say, the international community, and it's really shining a bright light on you know, sort of historical events that have now come to light in Standing Rock, and it's important. And I don't see that it's going to really go away, and that's really a good thing. Now, what ultimately comes out of it, will yet to be seen. But as far as the presidential election goes, you know, I'm really at a certain point disappointed in President Obama and his lack of real aggressive action concerning Standing Rock. You know, he was the president that was standing out there with Chairman Archambault, and Jody Gillette was his Indian policy advisor, the White House at the cabinet level. You know, that's Chairman Archambault's sister. You know, he's out there, you know, hugging and doing all those things out there on Standing Rock, and this issue is not something that's brand new. Yet he was asked point blank while he's over in the Philippines, and he acted like he didn't know what was going on, and that to me is really unfortunate, because he's been one. I mean, I've defended President Obama in a lot of the things that he's done across Indian country, obviously here locally, and as far as the issues that are important to the tribe, the administration, I don't think it's been that great. But, you know, if you're taking sort of a collective look of all of the things that he's done concerning Indian country over his 8 years as the president of the United States, I think he gets a fairly good grade. But on this one in particular, you know, his real lack of action leading up to, I guess, once the court case, they ultimately lost the injunction, the Standing Rock tribe lost that, but, you know, they put a halt to the pipeline and are now going back with the Army Corps engineers and going to take a closer look at, you know, what it is that's transpired and see if the permits were handled properly. And they're going to talk to the tribe again, you know, in a more honorable way. I'm thinking to myself, or, you know, a lot of people across country, that's pretty pathetic, actually, that's ultimately what's going to happen. And yet the construction still continues. You know, like today, the camp was on the path of where the pipeline was ultimately going to go through. And geez, the police just showed up and, you know, took the action they did, like you'd see in a, you know, Honduras or, you know, a country that's just really not what, you know, America says its ideals are. But again, this is where we are and what's happening over there. And President Clinton, Secretary Clinton, the candidate, has not made, I don't believe, one statement related or in regard to Standing Rock and the situation that's happening there. She was a original proponent of the Keystone Pipeline, so I'm not sure where her interests lie. Certainly, Donald Trump has proven to not be a real friend to anybody. Certainly not to Indians and Indian tribes, based on some of his comments that he made to the Senate Committee Indian Affairs in the 90s concerning his casino up in the northeast United States. So, I mean, Bernie Sanders has been out there, and he's been real diligent in his efforts trying to get some of the word out and on in support of of the tribes, and that's important. But for the most part, you know, the presidential election is something that they probably want to steer clear of at this point, the controversy surrounding it. But it seems like tensions are rising, and certainly should be interesting to see what ultimately happens in the coming weeks.
Yeah, just around the corner. So, yeah. Locally, we've got some issues going.
We do. The three topics we have on the agenda, we certainly talk about a lot of different things, but I know one thing that's been a hot topic is the Rama and the settlement and when the funding will ultimately be transferred to the tribe and what the council intends to do, the timing around all of that, and sort of the maybe some misinformation that's out there related to when or if the tribe actually has the money currently. I would just point out that from my end, the information that I have released has been as much as I know, and from the information that I'm able to gather from the sources that I have directly related to the Rama settlement and the folks that are in charge of that, there's no real additional information that we do have. The most current information came from a phone call that we had several days ago. It was myself, my executive assistant, Manuel Sanchez, and Councilwoman Orchid. And the lady we spoke to in Washington, D.C., indicated that the claim form that we had submitted they had received it, that it had been processed, it had been reviewed by the judge, and ultimately was approved. Now it's going through the process of a final determination on if all of the information that's been collected and is necessary to have the final approval is there and a part of the overall package, and that could take anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 days. It's just a matter of going through the process of elimination. I believe we were part of the second wave, if you will, of applications that were ultimately reviewed. The first wave only had, I think it was like 50 tribes or so, and the second wave has had more than that, so it may take a bit longer. But as far as when we receive the money, from what we have gathered and the information that was provided to us from Washington, D.C., was that it could, in fact, transfer at any time. So we are hopeful that that is, in fact, the case and are looking forward to when the transfer ultimately comes. Now, I know that's only one step in the process. The next step, obviously, is what the council intends to do when the money does get here. Indications that I've been given, and certainly my preference, is that because of the nature of the settlement and the funds, that we can have the money turned around in the form of a per capita payment, which is what I think a lot of people are concerned about. We can have that turned around and out the door relatively quickly, within days, if necessary. Certainly, we'd have to notice a special meeting, modify or amend the budget to include the specific amount that we would be sending out in a per capita payment, and essentially identifying those individuals who would qualify for the payment and cut the checks and send them out. So, at this point, there's been a lot of discussions at the council table related to how much ultimately will come out in a per capita. One of the numbers that really is a pretty consistent number is around $3,000 that the tribal council says is probably a likely figure. I mean, obviously, there's not a consensus on that. There's folks who are in favor of rather than paying out the money that we offer the offer the money in the form of additional services, you know, those types of things where you're paying water bills or electricity bills, those types of things. That's not my preference. I think that raises a real complexity to how that's ultimately going to play out and who would qualify, who wouldn't qualify. You know, people are in a position where everybody could use some additional dollars in their bank account, and for me, that's my preference, is to have it distributed and per capita as soon as possible, and let an individual do what it is that they think is going to be in the best interest of themselves and their families.
So there's no date set. You know, you're still waiting for the funds to arrive.
Yeah, no date set. Again, the funds could be sent to the tribe any day. I asked the CFO today if there was a transfer, and she indicated that there isn't. And we check several times a day, look at our bank account, see if any money's been transferred in. And it hasn't, but we're all patiently waiting. I remember when the big trust fund settlement was same type of thing. You know, everything had been approved, and we were patiently waiting, and got a call and said, hey, the money's there, it's been transferred, and everybody was happy about that and just took the next steps and moved forward with it.
Okay, well, we'll see how that one rolls out.
And sure.
Sounds like it's going to happen fairly soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, again, like I mentioned before, it's just a matter of when the money's actually transferred to the tribe. I believe there's enough votes to have a per capita payment turned around and issued out to the membership in a short period of time.
Okay. Well, we'll find out how that goes. The other item that is on people's minds is the grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely.
I keep seeing those bins out there. And I think, well, something's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lengthy process. It's been too long, frankly, that we've been waiting for the process to get started. Initially, we're waiting for the leaseholder, C&K Markets, to vacate the building. Soon after they did that, there were some things that were left over that still needed to be removed, you know, the generator and other things that they had that they hadn't eliminated. There was garbage and all sorts of different things that they had left in the facility, and we're going through the process of making sure that all of that stuff was removed at their cost. Those are things that they are responsible for. Ultimately, we got to where we were able to get all of the necessary items out of the facility that weren't ours, and we're able to then say, okay, you know, the next step, because of the what appears to be some real damage as a result of the, you know, the rodents and just the lack of upkeep by C&K Markets, we determined that the next step would be to essentially demolish and tear down the entire inside down to the studs and look and see what type of damage is there. What's, you know, if there are nests and those other types of things that are in there. We're going through a process to make sure that we document all of those things. We had a building inspector come up in advance of us beginning the demolition. We also had a facility engineer come in. He hasn't come in yet, but he'll be here in the next week to also take a look at what's there and make sure that we have good documentation on, you know, the damages that have been caused, and in order for us to be able to say, look, you know, the renovations and the things that we're doing and the cost of all of that, you know, that shouldn't be borne on the tribe. You know, the tribe shouldn't have to pay ultimately for all those things as a result of C&K and the way that they, you know, managed the building the times that they were in there. So contracts were signed actually yesterday morning. I asked both JB Construction Wild Horse come in, talk to our planner and other folks there, and we were able to straighten out some final issues related to the contract, and everybody was happy to move forward and got them signed, and demolition is scheduled to begin on Monday. So we're hopeful that that process will move forward quickly, and that once we're able to get it down to the studs and clear it all out, get a better understanding of what we need to do in order to get it back up to a state where we can actually occupy it again, and we'll take the next steps of then putting out bids for the complete rehabilitation and renovation. You know, the tribal council and a meeting, it's probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now, formally decided that the facility would be used again for a temporary grocery store in order for us to be able to get something up and running that is of adequate size as soon as possible. Certainly, it had taken a little bit of time to ultimately come to that decision. There was a lot of discussion around, okay, are we going to renovate the modular building for, I think I was in here the last time I was on the radio talking about the modular was a potential option for renovation and putting a store in there. We had talked about obviously renovating the facility that we have now and having that as a grocery store. We talked about building something behind the Club Hoopa back in that area, something brand new. And never able to actually come to a formal decision until rather recently. And the majority of the council decided that we would renovate the existing facility, get that up and running as soon as possible, and have a grocery store in there on a temporary basis. But ultimately, where a final resting place for a grocery store will be is yet to be determined. There are a lot of things that we're doing, you know, related to downtown in general, and what that's going to look like. You know, we talked about at one point, okay, if we're going to do a real remodel of the grocery store, you know, we should include the casino, we should include the Valley Inn, the old Valley Inn, you know, talk about the motel, and renovate it in a way that's just not really like a Band-Aid. You know, have more of an idea of, okay, here's what we want for the future. Is it a grocery store? Is it, you know, is it something else? Is it a community center? Is it an extension of the museum? Is that, do we want the casino to go in there? You know, there's a lot of those discussions have been taking place, but for now we're focused on getting the store or the facility renovated to have a temporary store in there, and then as we move along, talk about, okay, what's the overall idea or the vision for downtown. And a part of that is the securing of land and the consolidation of what it is the tribe owns and manages down there, and ultimately moving forward with the conceptual design of a vision of downtown that everybody has a opportunity and a chance to participate in and offer ideas and put some of those ideas down on paper. One thing that we're trying to actually do, kind of creating a bit of a hurdle or a difficulty in the planning of moving forward and doing some things downtown is the Wold property. You know, the one there that's fenced in, has been there a long time. Poor old Bill Wold, he's the owner of that. You know, he's passed recently, and it's all of his assets and things are going through the court. And what we've asked before is we'd like to purchase the land. You know, we'd like to see how it is that the tribe can ultimately take ownership of that and get it cleaned up and get it, you know, get all that extra equipment and fencing, whatever else is into the building, take that all down and open it up so that the tribe can actually, rather than try and plan around, you know, that we own the old Jackson Trailer Park there next door. We own the, you know, where the credit building is and food distribution. And then on the other side of that, we have land right there between the mini mart and the Wold property. And then we own the mini storage. So we have, you know, a pretty good amount of land holdings down there where we can put a vision of what it is that we'd like to see. It's just a matter of really, we don't want to plan around, you know, the Wold property, if you will. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to negotiate the sale of that land for the tribe. I believe the court hearings are closing November 17th, I think it is, and we have a meeting scheduled with the old state attorneys on November 22nd, and we're going to go from there. You know, the thing that we've talked about here is that, you know, there are tremendous amount of contaminants there, and if there's a real sort of unwillingness to negotiate in good faith with the tribe, respective to, you know, all of those things that have been identified. I mean, there was a explosive or the potential ordinances down there that were might have been explosive several years back that, you know, we didn't know about until came to light. They were moving some things out of there. You know, all those things need to be taken into consideration, and at a certain point there has to be a cleanup of that property one way or the other. So we think we can come to a reasonable arrangement with the old state and purchase the property. So ultimately, as that ties into a grocery store or a future grocery store, that's really a part of what we're trying to do as a council and getting sort of a final product related to a grocery store before we actually say, okay, the current facility is going to be the grocery store in the future, and that's just all it's going to be. That's not what we've decided to do at this point. We're going to put something in there on a temporary basis and continue to plan for future growth.
Well, when you say on a temporary basis, do you have an idea what that will entail? I mean, are you bringing in another chain or temporarily or?
At this point, the feeling is that the tribe will likely open its own grocery store. There are a lot of options, you know, that are out there. Certainly you can bring in another C&K Market type of facility, you know, Safeway or Tops or any one of the others. That doesn't seem like, certainly not my number one option. If there are even local folks who could open a grocery store, that would be, for me, that would be ideal. You know, let the private sector, similar to what was happening, sort of take hold and begin to have, you know, jobs and some of the capital here being spent here locally and, you know, spawning of additional businesses and those types of things. But in the interim, you know, the tribe or the council has seemed to decide that it's in our interest to open a facility that's managed by the tribe. Certainly we would entertain potential management group to come in and oversee the operations, but it would be under the flagship of the tribe and be operated as a tribal business. Now, that could be a year, 2 years. I mean, it's when we say temporary, you know, the idea for long-term planning and the visioning of downtown and those types of things, you know, a lot of that stuff's not going to happen overnight. It takes a tremendous amount of planning, takes a tremendous amount of resources. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of commitment to that idea and to that process. And so over a period of likely several years, we'll get to, I would think we'd get to where we ultimately have some other facilities and different things coming up in and around the reservation.
Well, you had mentioned earlier that the CK Market has the generator, and they're going to remove that generator?
No, they actually, what when we went through and did a you know, went in and looked at what they had left or what they didn't leave, and was doing a review of the facility, we saw where they had left the generator there. It's actually, I think, located close right to here. And said, hey, you left a generator. It's going to cost a lot of money to get that out of there and get it removed. And they said, yeah, do you guys want it? I said, well, we're not going to buy it from you. I mean, if you want to certainly give it to us, and we'll take a look at it and see what it's going to cost to get up and running. And sure. So ultimately, they just gave us the generator, and I think they did come in and take out some of the other stuff that they had that we said, nah, we're not really interested in that. We had our new property guy come over, J.W. Mooney. He came over and took a look at it and was able to identify that it didn't really take a whole lot to get it back running and up to operation where it's, you know, he says that there's at least 10 years of good life left on it. So we are pretty happy about that.